Thank you for having me. My first, credible podcast that I get to be on. Finally, we get to talk about some money, what I like talking about. Of course, I'm doing swipe ups in my story. It's my story. I always like, then they're like, well, maybe limit your swipe ups. I'm like, so you're just telling me the algorithm is hiding my content because I'm trying to monetize your app without paying for it? You know, I probably wish I had listened to my college pledge brother that tried to have me put all my money in Bitcoin in like 2011. But back to reach, I wish everyone loved me because then I would reach more people. I really just came on this podcast because I was hoping to learn some things I didn't have to like pay to hear. Like, since, so no. Hardest part of ending is starting again.
You're listening to The Radcast. If it's radical, we cover it. Here's your host, Ryan Alford.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Ryan Alford. Welcome to another edition of The Radcast. We're even more radical than we usually are. It's been getting real. We had a bachelor on last week with Ben Higgins. Now we've got, can I call you Pratt Daddy, or does it need to be Pratt?
Yeah,
I'm always Pratt. Like, as soon as I heard you say that, I'm like, this is Pratt Daddy.
Call me PrattDaddy.com.
PrattDaddy.com. Hey, I like the branding, man. You're smart businessman. Spencer Pratt joins the show. Reality TV personality, podcast host, now an entrepreneur. What's up, brother?
Thank you for having me. My first, credible podcast that I get to be on with, when we're just not
talking
about.
Can we circle that? Daniel's my producer here. I'm going to circle that. We're going to have that as a new headline. Spencer Pratt calls The Radcast first credible podcast.
finally, we get to talk about some money. That's what I like talking about.
I know.
So quick little, started reality TV when I was 20, turning 38 next month. Done every reality show pretty much possible. Said no to a lot that I shouldn't have, that I should have taken the money. And got obsessed with buying crystals in 2008, initially just because they were really expensive and I was buying anything expensive. That was just my thing. And then, got into the energy of them and, wanted to believe it. There's people, I won't argue with people if they say they're rocks, they're really expensive rocks. So I'm fine with that. Yeah, they're in museums. I'm fine with that. So then my wife was like, you can't buy any more crystals. And so she's like, you need to sell your crystals. I was like, I'm not selling my crystals. And I was like, well, what if I buy a bunch of crystals and I sell the ones that I don't want, and then I use that profit, so then I technically didn't pay for the ones I got. She's like, I don't care what you do, you need to sell crystals if you want more crystals. So that's how I never wanted to start a business. I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be Tom Cruise. I still wish I was Tom Cruise. Having a business is a full-time job, and I never wanted to have a job. That's why I did reality TV. It was so fun. Film me. Let me get drunk and argue with people. This is a great job.
I love it.
So here we are. Now I think like almost 4 years later of like a real business. Initially I was partnering with guys and letting them fulfill and just doing more of the swipe ups and sending them to a link that would then they would fulfill. But about 4 years ago, we started PrattDaddy.com because SpencerPratt.com, I had lost the domain. And I was like, well, what are we going to call it? My high school nickname was Pratt Daddy. And it was available on GoDaddy. And so that is why it's named Pratt Daddy, because it was the domain that was available. Because people were always like, why is it Pratt Daddy? You sell such expensive crystals. It sounds like a porn site or something. I'm like, it was my soccer nickname, fool. But it works out because, I don't brand the crystals, so it's like you buy an expensive crystal for me. It doesn't say like Pratt Daddy into the rock,
That might be phase four or whatever, right?
yeah. I mean, my logo is a hummingbird with like a crystal wing. So the thing that I'm missing the most is like the branding of our product, having the hummingbird on every product and chain. So, but yeah, we were so crazy successful in the first couple of years. I didn't realize how successful we were because it was costing so much money for success. But now I look back and I'm like, oh my God, how did I take my foot off the pedal? Because I think our first year we did over, 2.9 million just off the website. And then it went down to like 2.5. And now we're just staying alive over here post-COVID.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, I want to step back. But before we step back, I did look at being, I own a digital ad agency. And I guess just being a digital dork, I did look up like your organic reach numbers, and they were about, they're about half what they were, you know, 2019. So I was like, I bet you that translated to some revenue changes.
Oh yeah. And I don't realize, I don't know if it's out because, so I was the Snapchatter of the year when I was getting those revenues, and it was because this was pre-Snapchat selling ads, and I was getting, you know, 8 million views a week on Snap. And now, you know, I'm in the, I'll be lucky to be in the 100,000. So I, and then Instagram did the same thing. And then when I asked people at Snapchat, like the executives, I'm like, what's going on? They're like, are you doing swipe ups in your story? I'm like, of course I'm doing swipe ups in my story. It's my story. And I always like, then they're like, well, maybe limit your swipe ups. I'm like, so you're just telling me the algorithm is hiding my content because I'm trying to monetize your app without paying for it. Like, so it is what it is. So yeah, I don't know if it's that. And then I also had an ad agency. I was spending 40,000 plus a month buying ads. So I don't know if it's the algorithm or the combination of not using an ad agency anymore, but it felt like if I spent all that money, I made the same money I did without the ad company. Like it felt like it, and they would send me the breakdowns of all the stuff. And then one of my smart buddies later, I showed it to him and he's like, well, where are you getting that from? I'm like, they sent it to me. He's like, oh, I bet they did. He's like, check out the raw data. They need to send you the raw data. I'm like, I don't have time to be looking at raw data. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I pay them this much a month to send me the little nice breakdown. So yeah, no.
Well, we can talk about that aspect not on another call, because I'll give you the one, the 411 on all that. Yeah, all we do is help e-commerce brands, but we could talk more about that because I think we could help you. But all that aside, I want to talk about everything Spencer Pratt. So I'm talking with Spencer Pratt, prattdaddy.com. Talk to me a little bit, Spencer. You know, for everyone, you know, it's funny you talk about awareness and the algorithm and all those things, but I've always said attention is currency. And most of your attention, I think, was garnered, like you mentioned, from reality TV. I know you've done multiple shows. Most of your celebrity, though, I think we could say came from The Hills, the first iteration, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And what, I mean, I know you've been real transparent and you've got your podcast, Spidey, the Spidey podcast, you and Heidi, your wife. I did check that out. It was very entertaining and very, actually fun. I was listening to it. I had never listened to it before, but knowing you were coming on the show, I actually enjoyed it. And I think, you know, for people that don't know, like, how would you like summarize that whole experience and both, the, you know, the return and everything? You're kind of known as the villain, right?
Is that? Yeah. And then this season they tried to like bring that idea back, and it just kind of backfired because the audience is a lot smarter than they were in 2008. And they just see through just, and it's like an edit and like a total. So yeah, they're trying to run that story back, which I'm not down with at this point, because what I learned about playing the villain, because David Foster, the music producer, when I had done the Princess of Malibu, my first show that I had produced, he told me, you got to be the villain like Simon Cowell. And I was only 20 years old, and he was like hyping me up on Simon Cowell, right? When I guess American Idol first dropped, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'll run that. I'll be more hated than this dude. But I didn't get like Simon Cowell was the villain because he was just hitting people with facts and it was the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts, but he, you know, I was just the villain for like recklessness and like, so it didn't connect, which now I learn is does not work. And I mean, it worked in the sense that it made us, you know, crazy famous and we monetized a lot of different things, but I feel like for the long-term strategy of people, there's 90% of people that don't follow me now. If that's only they connect to that, they're like, oh, I hate that guy. Cause that was just like, I typecast, I molded myself in that world. Thankfully there's social media and, you know, I could build a new audience where people are like, oh, that was so fake. And, you know, he was clearly strategic and Heidi was obviously in on everything. But for branding wise, if I could have a time machine, I'd go back and I would have, well, If I had a time machine, I would have brought social media back, because everything would have been different if I could have gone live every night after episodes and gone on podcasts and, you know, air out all the facts and not just let this fake edit just take me down and go along with it, because they were, that was back when you got rich off of reality TV. And so I don't regret the checks. You know, I probably wish I had listened to my college pledge brother that tried to have me put all my money in Bitcoin in like 2011. Who now has hundreds of millions of dollars. So, you know, I probably would have, you know, spent wiser. I probably would have spent it all, but just, you know, I did buy a lot of gold coins and that helped, you know, buy our house. So that was one thing I spent money on. But yeah, a villain and hated. And
no, I mean, but I think anyone that can kind of see it, you've been able to, you know, level set the playing field with your social media and the thing. And that's grown, obviously, with the show. But I mean, how would you, like, for people listening, people that know you, I mean, like, who is the real Spencer Pratt then? Like, how do you define yourself, and where do you find kind of that center of gravity with, you know, all the headlines and all the bullshit that was out there that, you know, wasn't true, but as you've been building your business and building your personal brand since then, how do you kind of define yourself?
Well, I would just rewind to where I started, and that was behind the camera. Like, I left USC to sell a network television show to Fox. I was the youngest executive producer at 20 years old to a network. So I wasn't supposed to be on camera. I was filming, and then it was they needed an antagonist at the time. So the other producers were like, Spencer, just get over there and kind of stir it up. And it's like, I didn't get, like, I was taking the pill in the Matrix and hopping out of my whole life in that moment. And I was like, no, I got my walkie-talkie. It says executive producer. Spencer, rather, like, you still get your walkie-talkie. And I just got played. You know, I should have been like, no, let me think about, like, is this what I want my whole life to be? The person in front of the camera, when all along growing up, you know, all my friends are in the business, and now, you know, writers, producers, directors, and that was where I would be. So I would say I define myself as somebody who ended up in front of the camera with the mindset of, like, success and trying to make shows that I was on, you know, hit ratings bonus so I could get paid and da 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 da. So, you know, for me, it was always easy. It was always a shtick, an act, how to get more money. And once you're in, you're in. You can't, there's no, like, I'm going to decide to be a lawyer now. It's like, you know, at one time I was like, I'm out. I'm going to try to be a manager, a talent manager. So I put a nice resume together with my USC degree, da, 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 da. And the, you know, I get a call from the head of the whole firm, and he's like, hey man, like, any other time we would totally hire you. But he's like, the reality is, you're too polarizing to rep any of our clients. Like, you know, and that was when I think I had to Google the word polarizing. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, shit. So, yeah, I just rode the wave as far as it could take. And then finally having a business that does not matter if you like me or not, I source the best possible crystals that you can wear as a necklace on the planet. So that's the great thing about, I don't sell a product that's like, I like, if you don't like me, you could still go to my site and be like, damn, like, these crystals are fire. If you're liking a crystal and I'm not, it doesn't come with my face on the box and da 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 da. And, you know, so that is the edge I have in the business I am now running versus, like, if I had a freaking a shaver that's like, why do you need this shaver? There's so many shavers. You got to have that shaver because you like Spencer. It's like, I don't have that type of, you know, product. So that's the perks that nowadays it really doesn't matter, you know, but back to reach, I wish everyone loved me because then I would reach more people.
Well, I still think you're getting a lot more searches just in your name alone than most people, which helps in general. So transitioning, like, you know, coming a reality star to coming entrepreneur, I mean, what's been some of the biggest challenges of that transition? And I mean, you mentioned why crystals, but that was kind of like number one on my list, like, why crystals? I mean, but you happened to start collecting when you were, in the throes of reality and maybe spending more money than you said. Maybe that's the reason. But what have been some of the challenges of that transition?
I would say first, employees, like, I'm used to being on a cast where it's like, if somebody's not pulling their weight or not doing anything, you actually get paid to like engage and create, like and pretty much get into it with these people. But you can't get into it with employees. You got to manage, you know, personalities so much. Like at one time, like back when we were balling, I feel like we had over 12 employees and, you know, different times and schedules and people not getting along and having to people sabotaging other people and people losing my expensive crystals and sending out the wrong pack. And it's like, usually I get paid to like snap on fools and like, be like, you know, now I'm having to be like, oh, okay. You lost my pink term. You don't know where my $2,000 pink tourmaline is. Okay. Like
kumbaya like,
oh,
moment.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to burn some sage. So, that, you know, I'd say employees making, you know, initially I went to USC for business and I was like, I'm not going to be in business. Like it's a waste of my time. And I transferred to political science because I was like, I could see myself, you know, if not being in politics, because hey, I felt like it was just, this is pre it being like the worst thing in the world. I think back in 2003, it kind of looked like, oh, that could be fun. Now it's like, oh, no, thank you. But I did see myself as maybe a campaign manager or something. So I switched over to poli sci, but now I'm like, oh my God, why didn't I just stay in business for like the 101 day in business class? Like stuff that I learned the most expensive way. I'm sure you get a whole book about, you know, and I still am trying to learn, and it's so hard to balance, you know, like for instance, when COVID hit, we didn't know it was 2 weeks to stop the spread. So I have, you know, all of a sudden no one's coming to the office. All my employees want to fly back to their homes and be with their families. And I don't want to fire people. So I take on 2 Shopify loans, one for like $250,000, one from like Shopify Capital or whatever. This is PPP loans, whatever. So I'm just like, shit, Shopify offers me this money. I'm like, okay, I'll use this to pay payroll for employees that aren't even like literally doing nothing. I'm just paying. So a real businessman, I would have been like, hey, good luck with COVID, guys. Mask up, do what you got to do. Bye. Like everyone's fired. We're going to button down the hatches. And then if I'm going to take that money from Shopify, I would have used it to invest in gold chains from Italy that I sell with my, or buy more crystals. So I'm now every day paying, you know, a ridiculous, you know, 12% off my daily sales for a loan that I took to pay for people that I no longer employ. Cause once I brought them back after like 6, they were garbage too, you know? So just the hardest lessons that all are so expensive. And, you know, it is, the good thing is I keep telling myself, like, I want to transfer this one day, this business to my son. So it's like all these expensive, hard lessons, like I really will have learned. Everything will be, you know, they'll, all these things will come up. And, you know, like, and COVID was a hard one because I didn't plan for that. I was spending every dollar we were making, I was putting back in the company, because as I did that, it was growing the company. If we made this much, I threw it all into ads. So it was building, building, building. But then when we got unplugged, it was like I didn't put anything to the side because that wasn't, you know, I don't know if it was smart business or bad business. If there was no COVID, would I have kept building and ads and da, 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 da. So, yeah, a lot of lessons. But I would say employees was the first, because I'd always been like a Ronin. You know, Heidi and I are like one flesh. So even though like we were such a team that it wasn't like I had to ever, like, oh, Heidi, don't do, like, we rolled everyone, did everything together. So then now having all these people that I have to deal with that are, you know, rely on, count on, that was the biggest, like, oh, my God. And now I look at, like, big companies and I appreciate how, you know, people who make real money deal with all these employees and all this drama. I'm like, oh, my God. But then you realize, like, when you always hear, like, oh, these businessmen are the worst people. It's like, you almost have to be, like, not a bad person, but like you cannot be a little crybaby. Like I was a little crybaby. Like, oh no, I gotta pay for all these people to work from home and not doing, like, it's like, bye. Like life's like sucks. Like, but you know, so yeah.
Well, hey, they say you say you get, I mean, the villain. I mean, everything you described to me describes like a good person. Like you tried to do what you thought was right. You're learning business. You know, you take care of your employees. You know, maybe they didn't ultimately take care of you, which is unfortunate, but, you know, you tried to do right by them. Maybe it's a learning lesson, but I'm not hearing villain tones there.
Yeah, no, I mean, the villain was just because it wasn't my show. Like, that's the bottom line. Like, I came in and upstaged, like, the narrator, who was already in bed, metaphorically speaking, with the executive producer. I had no chance, and I went along with it, and I stepped it up because I knew if we ever hit 5 million viewers, I got $1 million paycheck, just bonus. So, you know, I never
I don't think you're the villain. You're not the villain.
Nowadays, if the same show aired where I was like the bad guy, we would get canceled. Like, I'm not even like, it was just, there was nothing on TV in 2006. You watch some of these shows now and I look like freaking a white belt against some red belts on the level of gangster.
No, I know. So, what has been like from a business standpoint? You know, you're on Shopify, for the crystals. Again, that's prattdaddy.com. Talk about like what has worked from a marketing perspective. Obviously, your brand awareness has to play huge into it. You know, the searches, all that. People know you. You know, they don't, even if you say, I don't know if I believe it yet, I'm hearing like a much better guy than anything that's ever been portrayed. And I think, so what do you lean on from a marketing perspective? I mean, is it just getting out there, PR, like keeping your name fresh?
See, that's why I said yes to this podcast, because, you know, besides it being credible, right? I'm going to start hitting everything that people ask me. I'm just going to start doing now, because I didn't do that. And I feel like I don't get out there enough and I don't push the brand enough. I've been just on the, you know, like, let it come to me type business model. Yep. And it's like, I think I've peaked at that. Like, I have my customers and it's like, I need to grow now and get, you know, so we just collabed, you know, breaking news with the, I don't know if it's a secret. Okay. Maybe it is. Maybe I can't actually break this news, but a major, you know, one of these companies that has 1.5 million subscribers to their website or shoppers or whatever. So we have a collaboration coming with them where, yeah, I'm not making a bunch of money off it because I'm giving them my product that, you know, I don't mark up and they want it so cheap for their audience. But I'm like, let me get to all these eyes. So it's a deal that it's more a headache than it is like positive. But I was like, you know, let's get to these 1.5 million people. So that is the problem. I don't do enough of like what you just described. If anything, I just promote on my social media the making of the carving of my products, what they look like. So you see, how, you know, like, look how hot this crystal is, come by it. Like, but I don't, I feel like I lost a lot of momentum, and I blame that on the reboot of the Hills, because pre-Hills is when I was getting the most, you know, I think it was the algorithm with Snapchat was just helping my wife and I so much. But that was when we had, you know, 2019, 2020, our most sales. And then once we went back to doing the Hills, it just took my whole hustle away. And I'm now worrying about stupid show drama and producers trying to sabotage my life and, you know, film schedules and going on cast trips, taking employees with me to help us with Gunner and, you know, 5 days I'm gone. Like, whereas before it was 365, Pratt.com all day, every day, da da da. And I thought, well, oh, the show will help, you know, get it going so much more and TV's so important. What I learned is that's not true. It is if the show just follows your business. Like, our former castmate had Uncommon James about her business. And it's like, that's all the show was every now and then. And then the ratings. I feel like we lost half the audience. MTV, all due respect to them, linear TV has gotten twice as hard as it was 2 years ago when the reboot aired. So, you know, I think it got up to 1 million viewers last season. Now we're at 400,000, where Jersey Shore, their big hits at 500,000. So linear TV is changing so much that, you know, in a perfect world, MTV would have done a deal with Netflix and I would be a multimillionaire right now, because the Netflix effect, it's like you go on Netflix and you all of a sudden have 5 million followers on Instagram. So that's the hard balance. And yeah, we got two nights where they did show the crystals for, no, one night. One night they showed the crystals, and I would say that night we did 50% better. Which, was that worth a year of my time and not green? Absolutely not. So, and then you said, well, how much did the show pay? Did that, you know, after agents, lawyer, manager, taxes, was that more money than I could have made if I had put all that energy into my business? So these are the things that just like melt my brain. And you got to kind of, the way I make myself feel better, I'm like, well, I would have thought like, oh, the show, I wish the show had happened. That's what we don't have. Well, now I can say like, you don't need the show. You need to just like work hard and do podcasts and IG stories and interviews and just be, you know, be on the ground.
Yep. Hey, it's boots on the ground, baby. It's kind of the way it is. But you do have, you know, your brand and everything. You've built that, you know, and to lean on. But I guess you're learning. But, you know, I could have told you linear TV is DEAD, baby. As a digital agency, I don't mind saying that.
Yeah, and if you are going to be a linear TV, like, then you need to have the show go live on Paramount Plus that day. Like,
exactly.
You know, instead of, like, the last seasons on there. Like, so that's the stuff that kind of it's like, well, there's obviously somebody getting paid more than me to not let that happen.
No, I know. So can we talk about, like, what's the future with Pratt Daddy? I mean, are you product expansion? I mean, what are you looking at, those kind of things? Like, where is your kind of product evolution things come from?
I would say just stay in business is my new priority. Have a profitable business. Heidi's been reading this book, Profit First. And you know, she's always like, we need more bank accounts. And then we call our bank and they're like, you can't open a Pratt Daddy bank. We don't allow gemstone businesses. That's for money laundering. I'm like, what? So, I think a big play is we just finally, after 2 years, don't even get me started on trying to get your official Amazon Prime storefront, like, unbelievable. I truly think we've been talking to actual only robots for 2 years. Well, that's finally launched, where I see that as the future of the brand. Like, the website is our high-end, expensive, really rare crystals that I love. But like, I would say, I think on our Shopify, I read we had 120,000 people on the site this month. And I think I converted 700,000 people. So the problem is they're coming and seeing my products, this much money, and they want to get it for $10 or $5, even if it's just a gag joke to send to their friend. So fine, let me give them a $9 crystal to send to a friend as a gag. Like, haha, it's the Spencer Pratt crystal. Great. So I feel like that's where I'm in too niche of like a market, where it's just super high-end rare stuff that I love, but I don't have that collector audience. I don't know how big that collector audience is. Crystals are still, I would say, so new to the mainstream. So when somebody comes over, they're like, well, why is this? Like, somebody just emailed me today. They're like, why is this pink tourmaline on your site for $1,700? And this one on Amazon is for $7. And I didn't respond, because I'm like, I'm not going to look at the one you're looking at Amazon, but I'm pretty sure it's not a gemstone from Africa that, you know, should, like, I'm selling it for $1,700. I can go down the street in Palisades and it's $7,000. So I even undercut the market for what I sell. Like, there's LA designers selling stuff that I sell for $200. They're selling it for $3,500 because they're in the right jewelry stores. They got the fancy pants name. They're not, you know, Spencer from the Hills. They're like, you know, they got money to pay all the celebrities. So I would say Amazon is probably where, you know, I'm going to get rich, like, period, because it's 50% of what, e-commerce, and I'm not even tapped into it.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. What can you talk about? I know you mentioned on Spidey recently a new show venture, something you can talk about.
So the Hill, MTV has argued with me, I guess, and said the Hills is not canceled. So I was wrong. So technically I'm in contract with Hills, so if they were to bring it back, wouldn't that be great? But if not, the producers of The Hills, Evolution, Alex Baskin, we're developing a I think I have a crystal delivery. One second. Nope. We're developing a series about the business and our employees and their lives, a la Lisa Vanderpump and Pump Rules, where, you know, Heidi and I would still be involved, but, you know, the girls that work for Pratt Daddy are, you know, TV stars. They should be on. We hire them really more for them being future TV stars and as our cast, and let's say their resumes for, you know, being good business people.
Yeah. Influencers.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, to that end, like the influencer moniker, like, I mean, with the, I mean, obviously with your own personal brand, I mean, you're an influencer, but like, you know, where, how do you feel about that whole thing? I mean, do you feel like it drives business with, from what you've seen, leveraging influencers?
I mean, it depends who. I would say people who have really strong audiences that like really care about what they say. But I feel like in the first, and that's the hard thing. I don't know. I have so many factors that I changed. I used to give out so many crystals to people and for posts. And then I stopped doing this because I was like, I don't know. You know, every now and then you do give them a code. Sometimes there are people that, you know, had a little, was worth it, but then other people, nah. And I'm like, but then it's like, whoa, did it help brand awareness? Maybe they didn't shop through that person I connected, but I hit their 1.7 million audience, but maybe not the whole 1.7 million. Maybe I hit 10,000 of those people and then they Googled it. So I can't say yes or no. I stopped giving out crystals because it's like, I don't have the type of money to just give people money.
No. No, so, don't give free product. I'll just tell you that right now. For anyone listening, including Spencer Pratt, no free product. That's my first advice for anyone working with influencers.
I even stopped letting, I used to give all my employees free product. And now they're like, can I buy this at your cost? And I'll agree to that. Even that makes me mad. I'm like, no, I bought it at my cost so I could sell it at the cost that makes your salary. But it's like.
My tip of the day for all friends and family that ask for it. You give them the double half special. You just for them, you'll double the price and cut it in half. That's what I tell all friends and family.
That's the other thing. My mom, I don't think she'll listen to this podcast because she, maybe she will. Sorry, Mom.
We'll send her links. My
mom asked for the most expensive stuff. And she's like, this hasn't sold. I'm like, I know, Mom. She's like, well, can I have it? I'm like, hey, the last few that you said didn't sell, you had like, please, Mom. And, she's like, I'll buy it. I'm just like, Mom, I don't want your money, Mom. I want other people's money. So, yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom. We're going to get Mom to listen, though. We want Mom listening to the Radcast. Is there anything like you'd want people to know about you that's not, I mean, you seem to be being pretty authentic now. I mean, obviously, not that you weren't ever, but like you've admitted on the show, you played a certain character. I mean, is there anything you'd want people to know, you know, as they're, you know, as they get to know Spencer, the real Spencer Pratt better?
No, I really just came on this podcast because I was hoping to learn some things that I didn't have to like pay to hear. Like, since, so no. Like, you know, don't give away product. I came on a podcast to learn. So that's my takeaway.
Well, no, then you just need to subscribe to the Radcast. You'll learn. We give a lot of all our free
advice.
That's
the thing. I do need to start listening to business podcasts. I need to start when I first started the business, I was like doing all the Klaviyo seminars and signing up for all the Shopify. But then it's like, I stopped. The last time I was like, this is too much to keep up with, but I got to go back to like, learning from these people like yourself and not trying to just wing it.
Oh, it's all good.
But if you check my social media, I film myself all day long on pretty much every platform. So, you know, anything I say here, it wouldn't, you know, like you go and click on my story, you're going to decide if you like me or not. And, you know, few seconds, you know,
your breakfast wrap that you eat every day. It's like
breakfast burrito. Technically, that's the Pratt Daddy burrito, which was a big get because if you live in California, Erewhon is the hottest spot, and I'm the first person to have like an Erewhon food branded product. So, I mean, I was eating it pre it being called the Pratt Daddy burrito. I just while we're on the phone, I just found out that it only is going to be available till the 8th. So that was a hard text I just had to hit. I was like, oh my God, that was hard. But so yes, I dance to Enya and my Pratt Daddy burrito from Erewhon every morning.
Is that hummingbird real?
Yeah. So that's another thing that one day I probably will monetize is hummingbird feeders. Cause I would say nobody feeds more hummingbirds than I do. I probably have 1,000 hummingbirds in my backyard. I go through pounds of white cane sugar a day. It's my spirit totem animal. When my son was born, a baby hummingbird hatched on our front door, and I was like, sign from God, okay. Gotta start feeding hummingbirds, and here we are.
Cool, man. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. We've probably mentioned it several times already, but tell everybody that's listening where to keep up with all things Pratt Daddy.
Yeah, PrattDaddy.com. Instagram is Spencer Pratt. You just want to see product. Instagram's Pratt Daddy. Snapchat, Pratt Spencer. Soon I will have my own Facebook audio rooms coming in September. That's pretty exciting with Facebook. So look out for those. And thanks. Thanks, Radcast. And I'm going to subscribe to the Radcast and definitely never give any product away again.
I
need tips. I need tips on SEO. I feel like if you search Spencer Pratt and like Heidi, you know, it does not just take you right to prattdaddy.com. I feel like it's always, that's a hard game.
I think we could do some exchange. I'll give you free advice and you just tag me when we like, we'll do like an Instagram live or something. So it'll raise our awareness and I'll give you free advice because I can help you.
Boom. Deal.
There we go. An influencer deal striked right here on the Radcast. You got like 3 minutes for me for a quick rad or fad section to close out the episode.
Yes. Yeah.
So rad or fad, one word. I'm going to give you a keyword. You can say rad or fad if you want to add more context. All our guests do. So you wouldn't be in the norm or out of the norm. So first, the Olympics. Are you watching them?
I mean,
rad or fad?
Rad, because you know they're hard to watch because you know they're not just on all day long, and they only you know put on certain ones. You need apps or whatever, but you know I'll always appreciate superstars.
There we go. Rad on the Olympics. Free Britney.
Oh, rad! So I've been Free Britney for 10 years.
No kidding, it's crazy. TikTok.
Oh, rad.
Cool. And finally, no setup here at all. Crystals.
Rad.
Cool, man. All right. Spencer, brother, appreciate you. Hey, free advice for tagging. I'm going to hit you up. We're going to stay in contact.
Boom. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, brother. You know where to find us. We're at theradcast.com. You can search all our content. Search for Spencer Pratt. Search for Pratt Daddy. All at theradcast.com. You know where to find me. I'm verified on all platforms at Ryan Alford. We'll see you next time on the Radcast.